Hour number three of Sports Talk begins with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. Always a pleasure to say hello to our good friend, John McClain of the Houston Chronicle. You can follow his work at cron.com as well as texassportsnation.com and on Twitter at McClain_on_NFL. He joins us now on the Stanley Fence and Gates Hotline. John, how are you?
I'm great, John. How are you and Jimmy today?
Doing quite well. And tell me, what has been your reaction in seeing perhaps the Major League Baseball superstar of the day take on the Houston Astros that we've been treated to seemingly a new one each day over the last couple of weeks?
When you listen to the Major League Baseball players in other sports like LeBron James and other people in baseball, you would think the Astros never won a game that they didn't cheat over the last 3 years. And something I asked a friend of mine, I did a talk show in Baltimore, and I said, do you believe Rob Manfred that they cheated in 2017? He said, well, of course. I said, well, then why do you not believe him when he said they didn't cheat in 2019? And the investigation did not show they were wearing devices, electronic devices, buzzers on their body, and he didn't have an answer. And we had a person, this was hilarious, go all the way back to 2014, showing Jose Altuve hitting home runs and coming to the plate, showing people waving off, don't rip off my jersey. And so, but you think that it's amazing. And also something about some of these guys, like Cody Bellinger started it. The Astros beat them in L.A. in the seventh game, and Bellinger hit, I think, like less than 135 in the World Series, left all kind of guys on base, and had a throwing error that let in two runs. And people said, well, you know, if you played a little bit better, you guys might have won. You might have won that series. But people don't want to hear it, and the Astros brought it on themselves by cheating. And something that a lot of my friends have asked me, they like to go to some games on the road, especially when they play the Rangers in Arlington. What happens when they proudly wear their Astros colors? Are they going to get insulted by the fans? Are they going to get in fights? Will there be extra security? Will the Astros have to have security, extra security in their dugout on the road? I think the first pitcher that hits an Astro, even if it's not on purpose, everybody's going to think it's on purpose. So the Astros just take it, keep their chin up. Do they retaliate? Do they have bench-clearing brawls? So, and as I reiterate, Rob Manfred explained he did not punish the players because they investigated before. Players wouldn't cooperate. They didn't have to cooperate. And then when they offered them immunity, then they cooperated. So everybody wants players suspended or something happened to them. It's not going to happen because they were promised immunity.
What do you think in terms of a lawsuit brought by some Astros fans in regards to this situation?
That was one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. Like that pitcher for the Blue Jays blaming the Astros cheating for costing him his career. You know, people file frivolous lawsuits all the time. Our courts are tied up enough as it is, but lawyers can't wait to get some publicity out of this. And of course, nothing's ever going to happen and come from it, but they'll be thrown out of court. But people can do that. People try to capitalize on it because of their ego.
Do you think the Astros World Series in 2017 should be vacated?
No, that was never a possibility. And is it tainted? Of course it is. It'd be tainted forever. But vacated, they don't do that. And he said he never considered that. And if they did, people, it's like in college, they say, okay, Reggie Bush didn't win the Heisman. Well, do we think Reggie Bush won the Heisman? Of course we do. And what the Astros need to do is they need to do like the Patriots. Patriots were severely penalized twice for cheating. But they won so many Super Bowls, nobody can remember how much it benefited them and how much and when. So just come back and win. If the Astros come back and say they don't make the playoffs, or they, what if they have a losing record? Now, they got so much talent, that'd be hard to do. But they do have, you know, a new manager, Dusty Baker. They have a new GM, and James Click, who's never been a GM. So they got some big shoes to fill as far as expertise when it comes to A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luno, both of whom were fired. So it's an unprecedented season in the history of baseball, and I can't wait to see how it plays out.
Carlos Correa said that Altuve did not participate in the cheating scheme. Do you believe that?
Yeah, I do, because he said that when and I would love to know, we're never going to know for sure, who was the ones doing the banging on the trash can. They've never said who benefited the most. I know there was a guy in Houston that went over every pitch that he could find, and he ran video for their designated hitter. Evan Gattis, one time, you could hear the trash can banging, which meant breaking pitch. Well, they threw breaking pitches, and he missed. So Mike Trout said, would I love to know what pitch is coming? I sure would. Well, you know what? They didn't know what pitch was coming. They knew fastball or breaking ball. Now, that makes a big difference, of course. But there's a lot of different breaking balls, and you still got to be able to hit it. So I don't believe that Altuve wore had a device that he wore. And the way Correa said that three guys, Altuve, Josh Reddick, and Tony Kemp, did not participate, I believe that, yes.
To football, Drew Brees will be back with the Saints for at least one more year. Does his presence make the Saints a Super Bowl contender again?
Oh, yeah. I'm glad he's back. The NFL's better with Drew Brees. The Saints are better with Drew Brees. All this talk about Taysom Hill replacing him as a starting quarterback. I read one nationally prominent person saying Hill could be one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He's not even the second-best quarterback on that team. That's Teddy Bridgewater.
That's right.
So people are getting carried away with a 29-year-old Swiss Army knife type of player. Every Saints fan should be on their knees happy that Breeze is back.
Bridgewater, is he a better fit at Tampa Bay or Miami, or do you think he stays in New Orleans?
Jimmy, something to consider about the Buccaneers. Bruce Arians likes to take 5- and 7-step drops. He likes to send out all his receivers. He doesn't believe in keeping in tight ends and backs to block. And I remember one time when he was coaching Peyton Manning early in his career, and I was talking to Archie, and Archie was talking about how much Peyton gets hit in Bruce's system because of that. And so Bridgewater is mobile enough. You don't have a guy. You don't need Lamar Jackson or Deshaun Watson, but you do need somebody who can avoid a rush. Jameis Winston can do that. Bridgewater can do that, but I don't think Bridgewater is the type to take a 5- and 7-step drop and even down the field. I think he's more of a West Coast type, 3 steps and get rid of the ball. So I do not think that would be a good fit. Miami wanted him last year. He declined their 2-year offer to be a starter, to go back to be the backup to Breeze, and in his mind, hopefully, the heir apparent. But if I had to pick where he fit, I would say anybody but Tampa. You know, the Tampa, if you're going to have, do you want a quarterback like Phillip Rivers who can throw it down the field, but he's immobile. Tom Brady, he can't throw it down the field, and he's immobile. You've got to have a quarterback who can move around and play for the Buccaneers. That's why I think they'll just franchise Winston for a year and see if he can cut back on the turnovers.
What do you think of the report? Do you have a reaction at all to Tom Brady perhaps not taking tours of prospective new teams or franchises to join, but having one central meeting place and having those teams come to him?
That's one of those reports that said could, may,
yes,
might, and that way you're off the hook either way. You know, I don't see Tom, say, going to Dallas and inviting all these teams to come meet with him where he has his own tryout camp. No, I don't see that. I think if it's good enough for Peyton Manning to go to Denver and to go to Tennessee and to go to other places, I don't think Tom Brady's ego such he couldn't go too.
What did you think?
You know what? He should want to go, because he's going to want to check out the facilities. He doesn't know what the facilities are. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know how far it is from where he wants to live. He doesn't know the people in the office. He'd be smart to go to those, narrow it down to like three teams like Peyton did, and then go visit, spend time there, get to know people, get to know the people you're going to be with the most, the strength and rehab guys, the equipment guys, your position coach. Don't just say, hey, come to me outside and meet you guys later. That's why I don't buy that.
What did you think week two of the XFL?
I'm a fan of the Houston Roughnecks and their quarterback, P.J. Walker, threw three more touchdown passes. I keep seeing media say that they don't have good quarterbacks and they don't score enough to keep the ratings up. And that could be, but Houston's not in that situation. Walker has seven touchdown passes in two games playing for June Jones, who's a quarterback guru from way back. But they've won both games at home. Now they go on the road. I have no clue who they're playing on the road. But right now they're one of the two best teams in the XFL along with the Washington Defenders. And I'm going to keep following them and hoping that they do well. For people like football, you know, I think that like the Roughnecks have drawn 17,000 and changed two games in a row at the University of Houston Stadium. And that's fine. They have an enthusiastic crowd. And I hope that the league is successful.
You put a piece together. What was the impact that June Jones had on Patrick Mahomes?
Well, thank you for pointing that out. When Mahomes was coming off his sophomore year at Texas Tech, and I watched him because I watched every Baylor game, and I'm a fan of the Big 12 like I was the Southwest Conference, and I knew he was a quarterback who had a big arm who ran around a lot and threw a lot of passes on the run, and he could run. And he played for Cliff Kingsbury. And June Jones' longtime agent, Lee Steinberg, Lee's been doing this since 75. And I think June was Lee a client starting in 1977 when he spent the first 5 years with the Falcons. So June has always looked at tape of the top five quarterback prospects and told Lee Steinberg, here's what I think about him. And then Lee would rank him and then try to get him as clients. And so before the 2016 season, when Mahomes was going to be a junior, June looked at that tape. He called Lee and said, you need to get this kid from Texas Tech. And he's like, well, why? He's a low second-round pick at best. He said, I'm telling you, this kid is accurate throwing the ball down the field. They're not able to protect him, and he still is accurate down the field. And if he can be accurate down the field with that arm and that mobility, he can be accurate in the short mid-range stuff. He's got some moxie to him. I'm telling you, that's the guy you should go after. At least Steinberg did, and he signed Patrick Mahomes as a client who came out after that season, and the rest is history.
Our guest, John McClain of the Houston Chronicle. We'll get a break. We've got another segment with John coming up as you listen to Sports Talk on 99.1, The Sports Animal.
From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting.
Looks like you've been missing a lot of work lately.
I wouldn't say I've been missing it, Bob.
This is Sports Radio WNNL.
Sports Talk continues. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams. Our guest, John McClain of the Houston Chronicle, as he joins us on the Stanley Fence and Gates hotline.
John, in terms of the XFL, I did want to ask you about this. I saw a note where 63% of the punts were returned compared to the NFL at 36%. Kickoffs at 90% were returned versus 34%. Is that good for the XFL to have more returns in the punt and kickoff games?
People like more returns, and what they've done, the punt returns were never a problem with injuries, always kickoff returns, guys running at each other full speed. And if anybody's watched the XFL, it's weird. The kicker is on his side of the field by himself. His blockers are 5 yards from the other team's blockers on the 35 of the other team, and the other team's return blockers. His coverage is on the opponent's 35, and the other team's blockers are on the 30. And he kicks the ball, and they can't go until they catch the ball. Same thing with a punt. A guy should have about a 10-yard radius based on the rules to catch the ball and get going. So if you have a guy who can make people miss on a punt return, you can have some good ones. And on kickoff returns, you don't have big collisions anymore.
In regard to Jason Witten, he said he wants to play another year, but he's open-minded enough to not play for Dallas. What do you think happens?
I think that who was that, Jimmy? I'm sorry.
Jason Witten.
I think, you know, with Jason Garrett gone and Mike McCarthy in there, some new coaches like having veteran players who are leaders around to help them buy into what they're selling. So it won't be surprising to me if Mike McCarthy keeps him, because he's also a favorite of Jerry Jones. And I don't think Jerry would make McCarthy keep him. But I have found him a new coach, and I've got a guy on my side like Witten who's in that locker room. I'd want him there.
Tom Brady, what are the chances he re-signs with New England?
Everything I see, Jimmy, has people, including people who cover the Patriots, have him going back there. Now, Mark Davis supposedly wants him real bad in Las Vegas. And so Brady, if he's going to leave the Patriots, he's got to have a good offensive line. He's got to have good receivers and a good running game. The Raiders have everything but the receiver. But they could draft somebody. And the Colts, of course, are number one. But most of us think Phillip Rivers will be reunited with Frank Reich in Indy. They were together for years with the Chargers in San Diego. So I can't think of another team Brady would go to other than the Raiders if Mark Davis made him a preposterous offer like he did with John Gruden, $20 million a year.
John, when you take a look at the NFL, there's been a lot of talk because in your, I guess, three mock drafts into it now, but some are trying to portray Joe Burrow as being somebody who's got leverage as to be able to determine where he goes with that top pick in the draft. Do you see any kind of leverage for Burrow compared to what we saw the Manning family put in place when Eli was drafted by the Chargers?
Archie did not want Eli playing for A.J. Smith, the general manager of the Chargers, who had thought he was hell on wheels as a GM. A lot of people didn't like him. He was a good personnel man. You know, he and Marty Schottenheimer didn't speak when they went 14-2 one year. And he didn't want him playing there. And so he was able to orchestrate the trade. The Giants paid dearly to get Eli. His work, of course, two Super Bowl wins. Phillip Rivers worked out well. They had Drew Brees, and they made the trade. And Schottenheimer wanted to keep Brees. He didn't want Rivers. So Rivers worked out, but not like Eli, because he didn't get to a Super Bowl. So I don't see that. Eli never said a word back then. That was all Archie. And I know Joe Burrow's dad's next high school coach, and I've seen him quoted a little bit. But I don't see them trying to pull that to get away from the Bengals. Now, the Bengals have been to two Super Bowls under the ownership of Mike Brown, one with his dad, Paul, the last one with Mike. I saw Solomon Wilcox played in the secondary for them at the Super Bowl 1988, in which Joe Montana had a miracle drive and a pass to John Taylor to win it over the Bengals, and Wilcox is ripping the Bengals for not wanting to win. I thought that was very unfair. Things have changed a lot for the Bengals through the years, and I'm not sure about their coaching staff, but I think Burrow, being from Ohio, if he tried to orchestrate his way out of away from an Ohio team, I think that'd look really bad.
We hear so much about quarterbacks, and you've just highlighted a number of them that are potentially available or are simply on the market as we speak. Who do you think might be some of the other top targets in a position other than signal caller?
Well, also about the signal callers, we haven't talked about this much, but it's coming. Cam Newton, they're willing to let teams give him a physical. That means he's out of there with new coach Matt Rhule. And if indeed Tom Brady goes to Oakland, Derek Carr is going to be a free agent. They're not going to keep both of them. So there's some more quarterbacks who could be available. We all expect Marcus Mariota, and of course we expect there's a really good chance that Jameis Winston, but I still think he'll stay there. A couple of players really intrigue me. And remember, franchise and transition tags can both be used. A lot of these top players right now, they'll sign contracts before free agency starts, or they'll get the franchise and transition tag. Cowboys cannot pay Dak Prescott, Amari Cooper, and Byron Jones, their corner. And I think if Byron Jones is the odd man out and he gets free agency, he may be the highest paid player who gets the biggest contract out there, because players at his position are so hard to come by and he's still young.
Someone suggested Dak should take a lower salary to keep some of those players. What do you think?
If Dak had a wife making $80 million a year, he could do that. People don't do that. Drew Brees didn't do it. Players don't do it. Only Tom Brady do it, and that's because, you know, he's got millions many times over. But that wouldn't be fair to Dak Prescott. And if you have a good personnel department, they can make it work. And although I saw a thing recently, and I'd have to go over this to see if it's accurate, about 8 of the last 9 Super Bowl-winning quarterbacks were not on long-term contracts other than Brady. That can't be right, because Peyton won. He was on a big one. But the point was that the quarterbacks on their first contract, those are the ones most likely to win a Super Bowl because they're working off their rookie deals.
Mel Kiper said that Detroit should take Tua Tagovailoa with the 3rd pick of the draft. Do you think Tua goes that high?
I think Justin Herbert is going to end up being the fair-haired darling after Joe Burrow, after people get to know him and work him out, because he played Oregon. He didn't get much experience. He went back this season. He could have come out a year ago. They're going to love his arm, his size. Tagovailoa, of course, coming off that hip surgery. So what's Detroit going to do with Matthew Stafford? They're not going to cut him. Are they going to trade him? Who would take his contract? I just don't believe that Matthew Stafford, who's been healthy every year except last season, and some people thought he could have come back, but because they were so bad, they just kept him out. He's been really durable, like Brady and Rivers and Brees. He's had one injury in his entire career, so I think Matthew Stafford will be back. They have too many other injuries. Too many other positions they need to fill.
John, what are you working on this week?
I'm working on a column Sunday. Tell people what the Texans offense needs to have to be one of the best in the league. And I think it'll surprise people. I have my mailbag on TexasSportsNation.com on Friday. And I've got podcasts and Facebook Live coming up Thursday. Thank you guys for asking.
All right. Sure do appreciate it. John, have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
John and Jimmy, thank you very much.
Thanks, John. McClain of the Houston Chronicle. Follow his work, TexasSportsNation.com, as part of Cron.com, and on Twitter, a fantastic follow, @McClain_on_NFL.